Our reading today is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way that to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know you do know me, him, and have seen him. You may be seated.
One of the trips that my wife Faith and I take at least a couple times a year is to visit family. And often at this time of year, we have done that. And when I say family, I mean especially the grandkids. And sometimes we go just to have fun and hang out, and sometimes we go to help out while mom and dad have work assignments in other places. But let me tell you, it's always guaranteed to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be really, really busy. There are rides to and from school, fixing food, piano lessons, gymnastics, ballet, soccer practice, flag football, baseball games. They have baseball down there. Now it's New Mexico. Puzzles, playing house, tea parties, playing catch, basketball just got done, garage pizza and Friday night movies, science fairs, reading before bedtime, and a whole lot more. You kind of get the idea, don't you? Now, let me tell you that we absolutely love our grandkids, and we enjoy them, and we wouldn't trade them for the world. But to be honest, there's one thing that Faith and I look forward to on those trips. When the kids are in bed and everything is peaceful, we crash on the couch to read, maybe to visit, and to recover. Now, some of you parents and grandparents, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're there. Now, that's one kind of peace that we need in our lives. It's a break from all the activity. And who doesn't need a break? However, there is another kind of peace in our lives that we need even more. It's when the storms of life hit. Stressful things can be happening all around us. We are under pressure, and yet there's a calmness in our lives, a serenity that the storm we are in can't touch. We don't panic. We're not filled with fear. We are at peace. And I absolutely love it when that happens. I just wish it happened more. How about you? Do you ever find that it doesn't take all that much to disrupt your peace? I think that's true. Maybe it's to fill our hearts with fear, or it could be depression or worry or discouragement or panic. One moment, things are going so great, and we find ourselves all of a sudden over in this whole different area of life that we don't want to be, didn't plan on being, but we are. When I look at the context of our text this morning from John 14, Jesus' disciples needed peace. He had just told them that he was going to be leaving them. And he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. And to be honest, their 3 years with Jesus, they had been wonderful, they had been miraculous, they had been amazing in so many different ways. And yet they had not been easy. They had not been without its challenges, its ups and downs. Think about the threats, the ongoing threats from the religious leaders and the people and the crowds. But in all of it, and through all of it, Jesus was with them. His presence had made all the difference. And now all of that was going to change. I think all sorts of questions had to be going through their minds. They'd be going through your mind and mine. I mean, where was Jesus going exactly? Was he ever coming back? And if so, when? What would happen to them? What were they supposed to be doing with their lives now? And so this is what Jesus told them. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, please notice that Jesus didn't promise to make everything smooth and wonderful and take away all sorts of problems or challenges that were there, but he did promise to give them peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And when I was looking at that verse, there's something that jumped out at me because I think this one statement, it's what goofs us up because we don't differentiate between the world's peace and Jesus' peace. What exactly was Jesus talking about when he said, I do not give to you as the world gives? What exactly are we talking about with the world's peace? And as I started thinking about that, I thought, there are a couple things about the world's peace that jump out at me. One is the world's peace is guaranteed to be temporary. Sometimes life is wonderful and serene, and other times your life starts to unravel. And there are times in our lives when it starts to unravel. And when that happens, our peace can go out the front door. It's also an outward peace. It's totally based on things like good health, abundant finances, secure and enjoyable job, good rapport with family and friends, accomplishment of your goals, being safe from all harm and danger. When that happens, all of it together, we can be at peace. In contrast to the world's peace, Jesus said his peace was going to be different. And I think that Jesus gives us an indication of his kind of peace in verse 6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That verse is a great verse, which points to Jesus, and I have quoted it, and you've probably quoted it a lot, as the only way to salvation. It's through Jesus. But I think it's so much more. To be honest, I had never thought of this verse in the context of John 14 in peace. But I think it fits, and here's how. See what you think. Today, my friends, if we're going to have peace in our lives, we need clear direction. We need clear direction. Jesus said, I am the way. I think most of us know what it feels like to be lost. When you are truly lost, you feel that anxiety. I mean, that can happen to you if you're hiking out in the woods or maybe driving in a snowstorm on unfamiliar roads. A couple of years ago, when Faith and I were visiting our grandkids in South Carolina, we were heading to Pizza Hut to pick up supper. I was cooking. I'm good at that. Pizza Hut, I mean. And to make sure that we would find Pizza Hut, we were not putting it up to chance. The town was fairly unfamiliar to us at that time, so we were going to use Google Maps. Pulled out the Google Maps. I was driving. Faith had the phone. We followed it precisely. And we ended up precisely on the opposite end of town from the Pizza Hut. We were lost. We were in some kind of rundown section of town. And let me tell you, that wasn't supposed to happen. That was not supposed to happen with Google Maps. They were the authority, but we still got lost. Well, can't the same thing happen to us sometimes? As we attempt to navigate life, we have all sorts of people out there claiming to be our Google Maps authority on life and on the life to come. For example, we have the Google Maps of good deeds. Just be good enough, try your best, and you'll end up in heaven. Or the Google Maps of good people. Humanity is basically good. We just need better education. Relax. We're all going to heaven. And then there's the Google Maps of good religions. All religions are basically the same and lead to God. And we talked about that in January, didn't we, with our Hot Topic series on truth. And these authorities make it all sound so convincing that they know what they're talking about, but when we stop to think about it, we realize a couple things. One is that no one could ever be good enough on their own to go to heaven. God is perfect, and only perfect people are allowed in heaven. And in case you haven't noticed it, we are not perfect. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, just in case you didn't notice, I'm not perfect. Go ahead. Now, if you really have good communication with those other people, they'll say, I noticed. Humanity isn't basically good. It's broken. It's sinful. I mean, look at the news. Look at the people around you. Look at the mirror. Even look at those sweet, precious children and grandchildren. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes how kids, even young kids, can be so selfish and self-centered, just like their parents and grandparents, I might add. Yeah. And all religions, they're not the same. They don't claim to be. That just doesn't make sense. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So even Google Maps can give the wrong directions at times. Likewise, why are people so easily influenced by those who don't know God and have never been to heaven? Think about this. Only Jesus has actually been to heaven and come back to tell us about heaven. It was Jesus who came from heaven, stepped into our world to show us the way to the Father. One of my favorite scriptures that I have often read and thought about as I think about heaven, but also it's come up maybe at a time of a funeral, is John 14:1-3, our same chapter. Let's read this together, shall we? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Those are awesome words. Wonderful words. See, that's why Jesus, God's only Son, who has lived in heaven and come from heaven, can say, as the sinless Son of God, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus alone can remove the sin that separates us from God. Jesus alone can bridge the gap between our Heavenly Father and us. Jesus alone can give us the gift of eternal life. And he did this when he shed his blood on the cross for you and me, which we will remember this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the way to peace, because all real and lasting peace begins with peace with God. And peace with God only comes through a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we're going to experience God's peace, I'm talking about that peace in our hearts, deep in our soul, we need clear direction. We need to know the way. And secondly, if we're going to experience God's peace, we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. He also said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, today, more than ever, we need to know the truth. I know we talked about that in January. We talked about this culture that we're living in that is post-truth, and not just post-truth, it's anti-truth. It sees truth as irrelevant to our lives. It's almost like people are saying, who cares about truth anymore? I just want to be able to live life as I want to live it, as I please. And the truths that many of us grew up with have changed dramatically and are continually changing. Our morals and values are not just being tweaked, they're being turned upside down. The Bible says they, humanity, exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. And that's where we are today. So many people don't want to admit that there's absolute truth. And I think one of the main reasons is because it will affect their lifestyle. It will affect their lifestyle. What they don't realize is that their lifestyle is actually the problem. Harming them, not helping them. Leading them into bondage, not freedom. Leading them to pain, not pleasure. Resulting in problems, not peace. That's why today, more than ever, we need to know the truth about God, about God's character, His glory and majesty and holiness and power and love. We need to know the truth about Jesus, the Son of God, His sacrifice, His grace, His forgiveness and freedom. We need to know the truths from God's inspired and infallible word, the Bible, which is our only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. We need to know that there is such a thing as truth. I think about it this way, just to make it practical. Truth makes life so much simpler. It means I can know for certain where Pizza Hut is exactly, because that's where they say it is, and I don't have to be driving all over town trying to find it. It means that I can know for certain God's truth about life and eternal life, and I don't have to run through my life trying to find myself, trying to find my purpose or find God. Truth is what enables us to see God in this world as it really is. Truth is a good thing. Truth is a God thing. And truth is what results in peace. Think about it. If you're living a lie, pretending to be someone that you are not, you can't be at peace. You're always going to be afraid that you're going to be found out. I mean, consider the fairly recent Me Too movement. So many big names, people who have been revered and respected and talked about at the top of their game, whether it's Hollywood or politics or sports, all of a sudden they have been exposed for using and abusing people for their own selfish pursuits, often for a long time. Well, imagine if you're those people that have done that, the fear and the worry now about being exposed, brought up in charges, being rejected by people who respected you in the past. How much better? How much simpler to live by God's truth. Living by God's truth enables us to be free and authentic. Living in forgiveness with God and each other, knowing that, as we just admitted, we're not perfect, but that we can forgive and extend grace to one another. Living at peace with God and one another. I love this passage from 1 Timothy 2. He wants not only us, but everyone saved, you know, everyone to get to know the truth we've learned, that there's one God and only one and one priest mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually, the news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work, getting this news to those who have never heard of God and explaining how it works, by simple faith in plain truth. If you want to experience peace, we need to experience life. We need to, Jesus said, I am the life. At the beginning of February this year in Atlanta, thousands of football fans were sitting in the stands, along with millions of Americans sitting in their armchairs, watching 22 players on the field competing against each other, trying to win the big game, the Super Bowl. The truth was, it wasn't much of a game to watch, right? But I don't think a lot of people minded in the sense that I think they were there for the snacks and the fellowship anyway. But the truth is this, we love to be spectators, watching safely and warmly from the sidelines. We enjoy eating our fun foods and relaxing, and I have no problem with that. My problem is that sometimes I can do that with life. I can be a spectator watching life go by rather than living it. And somewhere deep inside, in my soul and in my heart, I know something's wrong. Something's missing. I'm not at peace because there's got to be more to this life than watching life go by. The truth is, God never made us to be spectators. He created us to get off the sidelines and into the action. I mean, isn't that what you want? I do. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm up in International Falls, is to stay in the action, to do what God wants me to do. You see, I think that there's something inside of all of us that wants a life of adventure and significance and meaning, experiencing this great journey of life with Jesus and with one another. Jesus talked about this kind of life in John 10. He said, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That sounds good, doesn't it? He said that they could have better life than you ever dreamed of. And I think that's the kind of life that Jesus wants for you and for me. He has a plan for our lives. And it's only as we know his plan and are implementing his plan that we're going to be at peace. In John 11, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he called to him. He called him to be raised from the dead. He called him out of the tomb and into the light of a brand new day. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do today. He's calling us out of our tombs of sin and death. He's calling us out of our doubts and fears and into the fullness of life. Ephesians says, to know this love, the love of Christ, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Jesus is calling us to a life of significance as we serve with him to bless those people around us. I don't know if you've noticed, but there is a lot of need and a lot of brokenness in our world. 22 participants on the field while thousands are in the stands and on their couches may work for the game of football, but it was never intended to work for the game of life. God is calling us to get off the couch, to find a place for us to use our gifts and abilities and get involved in the game of life. All of us can make a difference in someone else's life, from the youngest to the oldest. We can make a difference with a kind word, a helpful hand, an encouraging phone call. And when you get to the end of the day, knowing that you have made a difference in someone's life, you'll be at peace. And when you get to the end of your life and you hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, you'll be at peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I believe he's talking to you and he's talking to me. The truth is, all of us go through storms in our lives, and you might be going through a storm right now. Some of those storms are small storms. Some of them are big storms. But the key is, all of them are our storms, and that's what makes a difference. And these storms will tempt us to despair and to worry and fear and to lose sight of God and his perfect peace. The good news today is that we don't have to do that. Jesus is here to give us peace. I like Philippians 4:8 from the Amplified. It says this, the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, That peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. So let me suggest a little homework assignment. We can do it right here. In preparation for communion this morning, take some time to give all those things in your life that are robbing you of God's peace, to give them to Jesus. It could be a sin, sinful thoughts and actions. It could be some selfish attitudes or desires. It could be unforgiveness. Often it is worries and fears about maybe health or relationships or school or work. But whatever it is, give it to Jesus. He is here, and he promises to give you his peace.